Hello, 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 Gospel for Grampians. Welcome to Yellow on Air. Yes, it is that day. One more time where we meet, we sit, and we talk about what God has done for us. I am super excited. Every time when I'm given an opportunity to sit and talk to you while you listen, for me, it's a blessing. This is where God says, my child, my daughter, the one that I love with all my heart, today I am going to talk through you. And I'm super excited, my fellow Gospel for Grampians listeners. Thank you for tuning in on Yellow on Air. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule or whatever that you're doing, be it a Sunday morning, be it a Thursday evening, it does not matter. All that matters is you took time, you tuned in, and right now you are listening to Yellow on Air. Welcome, so welcome. And right now, before I can even speak, normally, I'm never alone. I'm always with beautiful angels. But today, we are having a solo show done for the first time. Not sure if it's going to work out or not, but you know what? I like the fact that you're listening, and I know that you will give me feedback that, Masego, Coach Masego, what were you doing? So I'd like to welcome all of you. I am Masego Malapile. I'm a speaking, confidence, and a communication specialist. I'm a coach. I teach a lot of people, clients from different levels, to speak confidently, to articulate themselves properly in a public platform. And I have 18 years of experience in public speaking. And one thing you have learned, and I think you picked it up, right? I love to talk. For me, that is one of the best things ever. Talking is beautiful, but talking while your speech is seasoned with salt, which is the word of God, that on its own is a plus. So thank you so much for tuning in. And today we have an interesting topic. We are going to talk about the armor of God for youth. What is the armor of God for youth? I believe that you are attending church service some way, somehow, and you listen to the pastor talking about the armor of God. And you've always wondered, as a youth person, what is it? What's the purpose of this armor? What does it do for you? These are not scriptures for adults or scriptures for anyone else in their adult age. Well, you're going to talk about something that is physical, that you can see with your physical eyes. You need to ask yourself, what is this armor of God that we're talking about? And we are going to read it on the book of Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10. And it reads as follows. It says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in the mighty God. Put on off the armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers of this dark world, and against evil spirits on the heavenly places. Did you hear that? So you need to know the battlefield that you are in first before we can speak about this great armor of God and how to apply it. Then Apostle Paul goes on by saying, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, put on the belt of truth and the armor of God's righteousness. Number one, put on the belt of truth and the armor of God's righteousness. This is verse 14, Ephesians 6. Then verse 15 says, for shoes, put on peace that comes from good news so that you will be fully prepared. That's verse 15. So the first one is the belt of truth. The second one is the shoes of the gospel of peace. The third one, which was found on verse 16, is in addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith. Stop the fiery arrows of the devil. So you have to hold up the shield of faith. Then the fourth one is put on salvation as your helmet and put the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Then it continues by saying, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayer for all believers everywhere. So this was New Living Testament. It's actually NLT. I was reading Ephesians 6 from verse 10 and I ended at verse 18. Gospel for Grampians. For every word that we receive, though, that comes or proceeds from the mouth of God, we always have to say, thank you, Holy Spirit. So this time around, I'm just going to say a little prayer and say, Father, we thank you for the beautiful word that you're going to teach us today. For I believe, and we believe, all of us listening today, that when you speak through us, we listen, Heavenly Father Almighty. Not only do we listen, you say in your word that your word is sharper than any double-edged sword, and it is fulfilled in our hearing. Therefore, as we listen to this wonderful session today, we believe that you are speaking through us, and not only that, Heavenly Father Almighty, and that your word is fulfilled in our hearing. Now, Gospel for Grampians, as youth, you would wonder, the armor of God, what does it do for you? What does it do? As youth, why is this armor so relevant? I'm going to give you practical examples, particularly experiences in my life where I believe that the armor of God is necessary. There are certain things that you're guarding against, right? Now, the first thing that you're guarding against is when you're putting on, let me start with the belt of truth. You cannot operate in a lie. Why is it that truth is not found on your breastplate? A breastplate of righteousness which protects your heart. Why is it that is not found on your shoes when you walk and stumbling on a lot of things in life? Why is it that is not found on your head? Why is it that is not found on your neck? Why is it that is not found on your fingertips? Why is it that is not found on your hair? What is this belt of truth that we're talking about? You know, my spiritual father, Professor Lesego Daniel, I thank God for him, actually. There's one thing that he always teaches us, and he teaches us about the loins of a man. Out of the loins of a man comes a child. Child is formed by God before even the mother could even fall pregnant. The child, the power comes from the loins itself. And I want you to go and Google it and Google biology. Those that study biology, we thank God for that. Just go Google it and find out exactly where does power come from. It comes from a man. Because it's through a man that a child will be made and a child will exist. Now you, as youth, does that mean now you must go have child because you have power? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Unless if you're married, right? If you're married, to God be the glory. Absolutely, by no means, comes from that. But imagine where there's no truth. What happens? What happens to your hip? What happens to the belt that you're wearing? My fellow listeners, it's important that you always stick by the truth and nothing else but the truth in your life. A lie will always catch up with you. But the importance of having the truth is because it represents Christ himself wherever you go. The truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is what we needed to hear, and it's the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we are hearing today. Imagine if, I want you to imagine this in your head. Imagine if Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, these are the four writers, those people that were actually writing the stories about Jesus Christ as though it was busy progressing, and they were able to put it in such a format that we will be able to understand. Imagine if they themselves didn't tell us the truth about Jesus Christ and how he died for our sins. Imagine if we were unable to confirm that what was written by Matthew. Imagine if we were unable to confirm what was written by John. Imagine what we were able to unable to confirm what was written by Luke. Where will we be today? Where will we be today? Because it means that our whole basis of belief would have been based on a lie. We are listening today to each other. We are listening as we speak. We listen to pastors and ministers of God. All of them, they are pouring out what comes out from the mouth of God. Imagine the foundation of all of that was never the truth in the first place. I thank God for the people that lied about Jesus Christ. I thank God for them. And I'll tell you why. If they did not lie about Jesus Christ today would probably have not have died for our sin, meaning the last enemy being death was not going to be defeated. That lie was in fact not a lie, but it was the truth coming from the mouth of God. They say that he claims to be the Son of God. He claims to be God himself. It's not a claim. It's true. He is the Son of God and he is God himself. It's not a claim. So they were angry at the fact that how is it that Jesus Christ himself is thinking when he perceives himself, he looks at himself as a king. He's not worthy of that, according to them. Then they went ahead and they crucified him. Before that, Jesus Christ was publicly humiliated. I'm narrating the story that was written by the four disciples and the four disciples that were with Jesus Christ. I want to tell you why this I say the truth is important. They went and they humiliated him publicly. Dragged along the streets, being ashamed. Imagine if it was you being ashamed like that, how would you react? Now, It goes further. They whip him 40 stripes minus one. They whipped him at the back. And as they were whipping him, they were beating him up. They were opening the stripes, which is a great book that needs to be written, the truth of God. Now, there were things back in the days that were sealed that we could not see, right? Remember, after Jesus Christ died, there was something happened. Then the veil was torn in half. The earth shook. And, you know, if you can read the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the earth shook and the veil was torn. It's because of something hidden needed to come out. The Holy Spirit that was trapped in the confinement of a small room, or rather a place that was covered with rags or veils that only high priests can enter into. And when they enter in that very same place, they could only come out if the sins of everyone in the same place were atoned. But if they were not, it means they were going to die. So let me take you back to the story. I think you can read it. I'm not sure exactly where is it in the Bible. But this is something that I remember I read it. I just can't give you the scripture right now. So the high priest will go into that place. After going to that place, they will tie something like a rope and a belt on them. They will go into the holiest of holies, which is veiled. And they go to offer sacrifices and say, God, please forgive the sins, not of one person, but the sins of a lot of people. They bring in the sacrifice. If God accepts that sacrifice, they will come back alive. So how will they know that the person is alive? Then the high priest, because they have a bell, they'll hear the sound of a bell and say, oh, the high priest is still alive. But should they hear that the bell is quiet, then they will know that the high priest is actually gone, and then the sins are not atoned. So they will pull the high priest back with the dead body of the high priest out of the holiest of holies. Now the Holy Spirit, or that holiest of holies, was very scary. It was very scary, so not anyone could enter into that particular place, right? Now let's go back. Now when they were whipping him, the veil had to be torn so that the Holy Spirit can be freely available to all of us. And I love how David understood the language between him and the Holy Spirit before Jesus Christ could even come. That's one thing I would always appreciate. And every time when I read the book of Psalms, when I read the book of 1 Kings, I would say, how did he know? Even the book of 1 Samuel, how did he know? How did Jesus Christ actually know this? Now imagine the story that we narrated, that we spoke about. It's not true. Where will we be? It's important for us to speak the truth, so that stories that we tell to the eagerly eared and the eagerly minded can not only be accepted, but it can edify and it can build. Truth does not only lie within the conversations you have with friends at school, the conversations that you have with somebody else when you're empowering them about the Bible, but truth also lies in your tongue, in terms of when you're reporting for something. You're telling your parents, oh, mom, I'm going for a party somewhere. And you know that they're going to disagree. So instead, what do you say? I'm going to write homework somewhere. Don't pretend like you didn't do it. I did it when I was in high school as well. And I honestly ask God for forgiveness for that. Because what will happen to you when you're out there and you get hurt and your parents don't know anything about it? Similarly to people that go to work and you tell your manager that, oh, actually, I'm very sick. You go and you get a fake sick note because you want to rest. That's not being honest. That's not being truthful. The thing about the truth, it's what ties you to the Holy Spirit. If you are truthful to God, you are truthful to yourself, then you are moving closer to righteousness. And righteousness and righteous living are the characteristics of the Holy Spirit that we pray. Now, we need to have this truth. I may not be able to explain it in detail like a great minister of God's word, but this truth is definitely needed. There are a lot of people that caught in lies. And this is the point that I want us to talk about. We have politicians. There's war currently happening in the world. There's a lot of lies and the truth that is not being told to us as the public. I wonder sometimes that, are they not telling us the truth because they feel like we're not worthy of it, or they want to control us, or the truth is too hard to bear? I always wonder, and I guess we'll never know until a politician comes up and say, look, this is what's happening. This is why these wars are happening. And this is the real reason why this is happening. Nonetheless, gospel for grandparents, nonetheless, we need to make sure in our own accord that we embody the truth of God. Remember, when you speak about the gospel, it is the gospel of truth. That what is this truth that we're talking about? The truth that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and not only that he rose from the dead. That some people, they can accept the truth that Jesus Christ died for us, but they cannot accept, neither can they confess the truth that he arose from the dead. That's the one thing that they themselves cannot confess. This truth, you need to take it everywhere you go. This truth, you need to be able to confess it everywhere you go. When you carry that truth along your belt, you are securing the loins where your eggs for fertility are found. Where the cells that are going to cause the egg to catch a child are going to be, they're actually being found. You must remember that you are carrying future generations. You are carrying future people that need to be there. The people that need to lead the country. They need to be born out of the truth. That's why this belt has to be on your waist. It has to be on your waist, because that's where future generation production is found. And production cannot be found out of a lie. Production has to be found in truth. The same production I'm talking about is the same production that Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, when they wrote the gospel, they saw, observed, and they wrote exactly what they saw. That's why if you can read, they're not too far apart from each other. The gospel of truth is important. Gospel for Grampians is important for you to know this. This truth is not only about speaking about the Bible. Please hear me out. This truth is not only about that. This truth is about how you live your life, what you confess with your mouth, and what you say to your peers. Because that lie can actually break someone. Then guess what? You're never going to produce what God or what pleases God. You're going to produce what is not true. This production is not only about kids. This production is out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth shall speak. What comes out of your mouth, you create as you speak. When you speak, so shall it be. It comes to being. So if it's true, you build what is right. And if you build what is right will fight against the devil. But if you build what is wrong, what is wrong will please the devil. Then the following day, you are fighting against the very same words that you're confessing yourself. Yeah, today it's deep, hey? And I was actually wondering, Masego, alone, how are you going to do this? And I'm like, the Holy Spirit will speak through me. I'm not a minister. I'm not a minister of God. But when it comes to scriptures, God will come and speak to me like he would to you as you're listening to me right now. There are certain things that I believe that the Holy Spirit is absolutely opening and manifesting right before your eyes. Things that you are seeing, trances that you've been in. You know, there's a lot of things that the Holy Spirit is showing you about the armor of God. And it's something that I don't think we should undermine. I think it's been preached so much in our lives that it's starting to become so simplistic, to be honest. Like, a lot of people are taking this armor of God very simple, and it's nothing that is simple. Okay, so we spoke about the belt of truth. Now we know the importance of truth, because you need to produce. It's on your waist. That's where production comes, production of life. That's where it comes from. So it has to be. You need to speak the truth, because this truth will produce something good, and that's important. The fruits of your tree must be worthy of God's glory. It has to be worthy of God's glory. So every time when you think about a lie, think twice. It means you're losing something and you might not get it back. Gone are the days where we say, I'm losing this. Holy Spirit, it is well. You'll bring it back. That's not good enough. When you lose something, and this end of times that we're living in right now, be careful that you might not get it back. Because it's similarly to, I think Apostle Paul said this, it's like crucifying Jesus Christ again. Ish, imagine crucifying Jesus Christ again. But let me leave it there. I'll let the ministers and the pastors to carry on from where I left off. After all, Paul plants, Apollos waters, but it's God who causes growth. Hey, yeah, no, we are having a good time today. I think I'm really enjoying being by myself. I just wish I had that DJ deck and you can hear that boop, 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 boop. Oh, woo! People clapping in the background, everybody being excited because they're hearing the word of God, and I'm happy with what God is giving us through me today, and I'm really attentively listening and also taking notes, and I hope you're doing the same thing. So now we move on to one thing, another thing. It says, stand your ground by putting on the belt of truth and the body of the armor of God's righteousness. So we spoke about the belt of truth. What is this, the body of the armor of God's righteousness? Let's go read it in, let's say, Amplified. I'm using my phone. I thank God for these smartphones, because these days you can have different versions of the Bible and you'll be able to read it and interpret it and be able to elevate everybody else that's listening. So in Amplified it says, so stand firm and hold your ground, having tightened the wide band of truth, personal integrity, moral courage around your waist. Personal integrity. moral courage around your waist. I think I've been speaking about the belt of truth for so long. Let's move on to the next one. And then that's not all. Then it says, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, an upright heart. Lately, my spiritual father, Professor Lesoa Daniel, may God bless his soul, he's been teaching a lot about forgiveness. A lot has happened when COVID started. And that a lot caused a lot of people to be broken. A lot of people lost their families through death, through divorce. Some parents no longer live in the same house. Some lost their marriages, their jobs. To sum all of these up, there was a lot of brokenness. Over and above that, none of us knew how to live in such an environment where there's COVID. There was no survival kit written anywhere that says you need to live in this way. Our hearts were no longer guarded. Therefore, our hearts were attacked by our parents losing jobs, we losing jobs, everybody else losing. It was all loss, 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 loss of life, loss of income, loss of house, loss of cars. It was just loss, 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 loss. And our hearts not being guarded caused us to be in a certain position and at a certain point. Now remember these words. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth shall speak. And I want to teach you about the power of forgiveness and what it has done for me. My spiritual father always teaches about offense and how offense can take away things from you. I'll give you a scenario. You're in varsity and you're studying. Somebody comes that you know, you're familiar with, takes away something from you. The first thing that plays in your head is that this one wants to sabotage me. They want to make sure that I don't pass, and they do, so that they can do better than me. The first door of offense was opened. The person brings back that thing. They don't apologize. Oh, friend, I was joking, so they say. Second scenario, same friend. You call a taxi ride. You're going to attend a function somewhere. Your friend decides to go there ahead of you and steals the show. Those are the words that you use in your scenario. People begin to love this person. In your mind, this person is trying to outshine me. Offense comes in comfortably in your life and it resides in your heart. Remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth shall speak. So now you're starting to create preconceptions about this person in your head. You're even building scenarios of things that don't exist in your head about this particular person who in this case probably is even innocent. Now this person does something wrong unto you. They do something deeply wrong unto you. You've been keeping records of wrongs for a long time. Even the wrong that you think is wrong, that you should have forgiven, most probably we wouldn't be here. Then you and your friend start getting into an argument. And then they start saying something hurtful to you. But because of you, an offense, acquaintances, probably friend, closer to it being your mother-in-law, you start to retaliate and you start saying things that are terrible to this person. Your heart built in that anger inside of you. My spiritual father always taught that guard against offense, it will steal your blessings. It's true. Because when the mouth speaks, remember we spoke about the truth and we said the truth builds? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth shall speak. When you speak, you create, it becomes into being. Darkness and light cannot exist in the same environment. Therefore, you are going to start speaking things that are contradicting the righteousness of the Holy Spirit. And you fight back. And you start killing this person. In my language, I'm Tswana, by the way, which is one of the languages spoken in South Africa. We're saying that only your finger, if you point at somebody, the finger will come back. But if you say something with your words, it cannot come back. Do you know why? Let there be light. There was light. Let there be trees. Let there be the sky. Let it be dark. Let the light and dark separate. And we'll call this day and we'll call this night. Everything else that God spoke about, it came into being. So you build things in your heart because you did not wear the breastplate of righteousness. Christians, let me tell you, one of the hardest armor to put on is the breastplate of righteousness. I can tell you that for free. It is one of the hardest things to wear because you are always guarding yourselves against the arrows that comes from the enemies. But in your mind, you think, I'm guarding it by being away from people. I'm guarding it by being this, not realizing that you're building the best place of righteousness out of offense. You don't know that. That's why sometimes it's important for you to put yourself in an environment or in a place or in a space where you properly assess your mind, your heart, your body, your spirit, your soul to see whether or not what you are is really what God says you must be. Because I've learned this. Trust me. And you know this, and don't be afraid to admit this, because the first step into doing what is right in your life is to admit something that you know for sure you're struggling with. The breastplate of righteousness is hard to build and hard to maintain, because the evil of your mind will always constantly remind your heart of the pain it felt when something happened. Now it's time for you to forgive, because you must be released from this offense. You must be forgiven. You must start to forgive. You think about the amount of pain, that's the brain reminding the heart, the amount of pain that you felt when this person wronged you, when they said this, when they took this away from you, they took something, they took somebody, they took money, whatever they took, especially around COVID times. And your heart starts not to forgive, meaning that offense takes over in your life. What can you build out of such an environment? What can you build? You can't build anything out of such an environment. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth shall speak. Then I asked myself, how do I guard myself against offense? Or how do I guard myself against being affected? When arrows come, then I must protect my heart. Then God said, humility. Staying humble. Then I went on and I researched, what is humility? Is humility when people beg? When people put their heads under the sand? Is humility inability to respond when you should? What is humility? What is it? Is humility your inability to speak, being gullible, tossed around? I'm talking to you that's at school. I'm talking to you that's at work, wearing God like it's a coat and call it humility while you're not representing the Spirit of God. There are situations and positions where you really need to stand for the Word of God. You really need to stand. God called you for that. It's humility taking a back seat and saying, let politicians lead. Who am I? I'll just sit here and criticize. Is that humility? Absolutely not. Humility is trusting and having faith in God and relying on His word. If God says, forgive, and you forgive, that's humility. It's beyond obedience. It's humility. Humility is relying on God in everything that you do. Relying on God to help you deal with the issues in your mind concerning that person. Relying on God to help you deal with the issues of your heart concerning that person. When you are humble, the breastplate of righteousness, it becomes a permanent resident on your chest. Because every arrow coming through your head, because it lacks transportation, route one, route two, any arrow that comes from that angle, when it lands inside of you, it finds humility. Therefore, your biggest weapon and mechanism of defense, even if it comes alive, even if I lose, God is with me. Even if I don't get this, God is with me. Even if I'm ashamed, God is with me. Even if God is with me. After all, He Himself died for my sins, that today I may be the person that I am today. Even if. Humility causes you to not even question and say to the arrows, I will obey under your oppression, but my faith is God will always be with me. And I want you to let this rest in your heart. Let it this rest in your mind. Let it rest in your soul. Study and learn the art and the power of humility. And forgiveness is always the first step. What's the point of forgiving somebody else if you can't forgive yourself? You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. For something wrong to happen to me, I must have attracted it some way, somehow. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But I need to forgive myself for doing that. I need to forgive myself for allowing that to happen. I need to forgive myself for everything. So, Gospel for Grampians listeners, the breastplate of righteousness is one of the hardest armor to put on. Truth, you can walk around it with a guide. Righteousness is hard to attain and to maintain. It's one of the things that requires great sacrifice, losing yourself to God. That's what breastplate of righteousness is. And now we move on to verse. Are you all listening? Are you all with me? Are we still intact? Are we still here? Are you still tuning in? Are you still listening to this one woman show? I don't know how it's done, but nonetheless, it's always done. And I did say that for every armor, I'll give you examples and the importance of each and every armor. And I pray that you ask God to explain deeper than what we're already explaining, to teach deeper than what we're already teaching. And always put yourself in a space where only good tidings and good deals and good deeds and good words are spoken unto your life. Because you can't build out of things that are not great or things that are bad. We are still on the Amplified Version. We did read verse 14. And now we're going to read verse 15. It says, "And having strapped on your feet the gospel of peace in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed standing and the readiness produced by the good news." Oh, Father, I thank you. I love God. I love God so much. I love God with all my heart. God has taken me out of things I never thought I could come out of. God has taught me things that I never thought I would have learned. If it wasn't for my journey with God, there are certain things that I wouldn't have known. There are certain things I wouldn't have done. There are certain lessons I wouldn't have learned. And I can tell you now, I wouldn't be here on this radio station talking to you today. It is because of the love of God that I have for him. But I'm not even qualified to say that because he loved me first. He loved me while I was in my mother's womb. And he said, "I'm going to create a child and her name will be Masego. The circumstances of her birth will be highly unfavorable because of my hand is the one that needs to shine." We see it in the Old Testament in many troubles that the Israelites have gone into. When God himself went and said, "I will save them my own way." Because it has to be a testimony. God is very romantic. If you can go to the book, if you read, I think it's the book of Kings where Gideon was leading him, God was leading Gideon to go and save the Israelites. How he did it for me is the most, it's like a man rocking up on your doorstep with a bunch of flowers and a big teddy bear, a biggest hug like no other. For me, that is the big, when we say God is romantic, go read the book of Hosea. If you want to know that God is romantic, go read the Old Testament. You will see in full display the heart of God concerning people. You will see it. So now with the gospel of truth, with the shoes of the gospel that Jesus Christ died for us, there's more to it. There's more to it. That he himself came in the form of a son. He experienced what you experienced. That's why today when we speak to God and say, "Forgive me for this sin," he understands because he carried it in him. He died with it like a sinner, like us. Yet he did nothing wrong. These shoes, you know these shoes. It's not like your Jimmy Choo. It's not like your Gucci. The roads that we walk on, the places that we go to, there are traps that are set up for us. When you are wearing the gospel, the shoes of the gospel, the shoes of the gospel, and you are walking wherever you go, when there are thorns on the ground, and I'm talking about territorial issues, what do I mean by that? Now I'm going to speak things that are very, very high up. Territorial issues. Every environment has its own king, a ruler in the spirit. When you enter as a righteous person into such a place, the gospel of peace. Oh, these shoes, gospel for grandparents, these shoes will cause you to remain peaceful no matter which environment you stepped in. And I saw these shoes through Jesus Christ himself. I saw these shoes through David when he was going through troubles, when his son, of all people, was the one who was actually trying to kill him. Not only that, his father-in-law, Saul, was trying to kill him. And there, his Jonathan, being his brother-in-law, saving him. You know, I saw these shoes when David was wearing them, leaving his wealth and everything else and fleeing from his own son. It's not because he was stupid. No. Peace told him to leave. What I like about these shoes is that they take you where you need to go. These shoes, they take you to a place that you need to be in. These shoes, they protect you and they make sure that you stand firm to where you need to be. When you're wearing these shoes, imagine them like you're wearing thousands and thousands of layers of sheets underneath your feet. Even if the ground is hot, meaning the situation is tough. Even if the ground is cold, meaning that people are not rejecting you, they're not supporting where you stand. Even if the ground has thorns, meaning people that betray you or speak against you, these shoes will keep you intact all the time. These shoes are what you need to actually work on, especially when you're a leader, when you're working at school, you are the head girl, head boy, you are there in varsity, president of some organization. When you have these shoes, you stand by the word that God has told you. If God says, stand here, this is what I'm going to give you. When he said to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah says, I am young, what can I say? How will I speak? For I am young. When you're wearing these shoes, you stand by what God has told you. And he says, don't worry. Where out of your mouth will be words that come from me. So you no longer say, I am young. For I have given you something to say. Moses also doubted himself. When God says, go there, take a rod, put it like this. When they come to with their rods, bring your own rod as well. There's a story about that. I'll tell you one day about it. Because I was meditating about this whole story of Moses. And I wondered that if Moses' rod was able to turn into a snake, it means all these sorcerers, they knew how to turn their rods into snakes first. So God defeated them in their own game. Listen to that. Now we're talking about the shoes, right? And we're saying that, strap on your feet the gospel of peace and preparation. When you are ready for anything else and you are peaceful, no matter whether the ground is hot, is cold, or it has thorns, or it's smooth, or it's whatever, you are peaceful. That peace is translated into your heart. That's why in most cases, if they want to see that something is wrong with your heart, your feet are always the first indicator of whether something is wrong with your heart or not. When it starts to swell up, just know, you have heart problems. If not, go seek a doctor, because I'm not a doctor as well. And then it says, above all, lift up the protective shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The devil attacks from many angles, right? And the armor is there to protect us against any attack that comes from the devil. There are many arrows that can come through and that can actually hit you from above. When those arrows come in, when you have faith will protect you, because you know you have faith in the God that you don't see, the God that is unseen. You have faith in him. Then even the arrow that says COVID has come, everybody's going to lose their job, everybody was panicked, your faith says, for even if I walk through the shadow of death, I know that the Almighty God is with me. That's your faith. That shield, when you lift it up, when those arrows come, they hit the shield. They will not pierce through. Now you're giving your breastplate, your helmet, your belt, and your shoes extra job because of the faith that you don't have. The armor in its own, the armor on its own, it's ineffective. It needs to work hand in hand with each other. Meaning that you can't have one and not the other. You can't have the helmet of salvation and not have the belt of truth. All of them, they're interconnected and they push you to the righteousness of the Holy Spirit. And that's a place where now God himself says, I'm going to protect my child. I'm going to be with my child. Right? Gospel for Grampians. Look, there's a book. It's actually a journal that I used to read. And it actually took me so many years to read this journal. And I like to talk to you about it. The name of the journal is The Final Quest. The Final Quest is a journal that made me understand the armor of God in many, many ways. So The Final Quest is actually a journal, or rather a book, that is written by an author called Rick Joyner. He's an American speaker. He was narrating what he saw in the Spirit of God regarding the spiritual warfare on our day-to-day life. As you sit down, you kneel down and pray, there's a spiritual warfare that goes on. And then what he basically is translating it into a book, and you're able to understand it. I wish I could read it properly to you so that you can see what is it that I'm talking about. It helped me understand what this whole armor of God is about. It helped me understand the importance of it and how in your Christian life is one of the most important things that you need to have. It doesn't matter if you're old or young, because sometimes you speak about the armor of God, we make it, turn it into a big religion as if it's nothing or it's something that we can see tomorrow, of which that shouldn't be the case. The armor of God is some, it's like your elementary teaching of Christian life. It's like it's a requirement level one. Those are the things that you need to have before we speak about the building of character, the building of faith, the building of love, and all those things. But the armor of God is one of the most prominent things that you should have as a Christian. So if you're a Christian for the first time, the first thing that you need to go to is the armor of God, right? So I'm trying to download this ebook so that I can read it for you right now, Holy Spirit. So as I was reading The Final Quest, I'm going to narrate a certain story there. I remember one of the sections I was reading, Rick Joyner said, look, I saw the arrows, flaming arrows coming from the sky. All those arrows, they carried condemnation in them. And he says, these are the arrows that have been thrown on Christians so that they can condemn themselves for doing certain things. There's a truth that Romans told us, that we are now cannot be condemned, for we are cleansed by the blood of Christ. I'm actually paraphrasing it. I think it's Romans 8. I'll look for it. It says that there's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. In actual fact, that's what it's saying. And Rick John was speaking about these arrows. These arrows are not just small and challenges. No, we're talking about hectic stuff. Hey, we're talking about things that will condemn you from something that you did 20 years ago, 3 years ago, 10 seconds ago, to someone who probably had forgotten. That's why I keep saying that the power of forgiveness is what will actually pull you through in your all day-to-day life. So now, as we talk about this beautiful armor, as we talk about this, and it's speaking about the arrows of depression, what causes you to have depression, anxiety. I don't have a shirt. I don't have this. I don't have this. I feel like people are not going to like me. I feel like they hate me. I feel like, you know, these are the arrows that deal with you internally, which are things that you struggle with from within yourself. Remember, there are challenges that are outside and there are challenges that are inside. Challenges that are outside are easy to deal with. Challenges that are inside are hard to deal with, because you live with yourself every day. And every day as you live with yourself, you have to live with the heart and the mind that, you know what, Holy Spirit, I may not be perfect, but I know you're with me. But there are people that don't believe in this. They don't believe that they're enough. They don't believe that they can do it. They don't believe that they have the courage, and the courage comes from God. They don't believe that God loves them. I'm telling you now, there are people that don't believe that God loves them. It's possible. And every time when I see this, I find it very sad. There are people that believe that God is out to get them. God is punishing them all the time. There are people that really believe this. But what is God if he's not love? What is God if he's not love? So in other words, are we saying that if God doesn't love you, because you say God doesn't love you, are you saying that you don't have God? Because if we take it into a mathematical way and we're saying that God doesn't love you, in other words, you're saying that you don't have God. That's what you're saying. Then in other words, your prayer, where does it go to? If you say God doesn't love you. But there are people that actually believe it. Hey, it's quite a sad scenario, especially people that are depressed. The first thing they believe is that God doesn't love them. That is so sad. It is so sad, Gospel for Grampians. These arrows, as they come and they hit you, you start dealing with internal issues. The arrows can be self-righteousness, self-pity, pride. The worst demons and characteristics that are very hard to detect in a human being, even within yourself. That's why you need humility, because humility will sift out all these things. They will all come out, and then you start seeing the power and the glory of the Almighty God. So it's important, Gospel for Grampians, to wear with pride, with honor, this armor of God. It's important for you to wear it. The shield of faith is a shield that has saved me myself. When I was in the battling with depression, and I'm not even talking about depression while I was older. I'm talking about depression that happened now, just now, 2 seconds ago, where I was old. Actually, when I was still young, in fact, when I was still in high school, because I was going through the most, like all of us, we all go through the most in actual fact. No, everybody that's listening to me, you're going through something or have gone through something. So all of us have a story to tell. And I remember I was going through depression and I was in high school and I was writing my exams. And there were so many things that were happening in my head. And the biggest fear I had was the fear of failure. The reason why I had this is because in South Africa, when you finish your last high school, when you write your exams, it's published on a newspaper on whether or not you passed. And if your name is not there, then it means you failed. Meaning that the whole country knows whether or not you passed or you actually failed. How crazy is that? That's why that level, that's where we have a lot of learners that commit suicide, because it's now, the shame is no longer at home, it's public now. The whole world knows. Because there are people that buy newspapers just to see whether or not you passed. And even if you did, it indicates how you passed. Did you pass at a higher level? A level just below that? A level little below that? Or lower level? Did you pass with distinction? Distinction is like A plus. Do you pass with A plus? What did you pass with? All this information is given to the public. So as time went on, South African Education Department of Education decided that we are going to change things. We are no longer going to actually write down your names. We're going to write down your student number or your exam number. So it becomes hard for people to know whether or not you have passed or you have failed. I thank God for the person who did that, because now at least, hopefully, by the grace of God, there are lesser and lesser suicides from our learners because of it's a public shame. Right? So when the depression comes and it hits you, it makes you question your faith. That's the thing about it. If your faith is not strong and that arrow pierces it through, you start questioning yourself, you start questioning your faith, you start questioning whether or not is this where you need to be. And I need you to be careful for this gospel program, because I need you to be careful of the arrows that come through. That's why if your faith is strong, it can fight against all things and everything by the Spirit of the Almighty God. Now, the last thing that I'm going to talk about is the helmet of salvation. Woo! The helmet of salvation. The salvation of you knowing that Jesus Christ died for you. And remember the salvation prayer that you did when you were born again. That I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. Therefore, I am reconciled with God. Why is that has to be your helmet more than anything else? We spoke about the belt. Why is the belt of truth? Why is it supposed to be tied around your waist? We spoke about the shoes. The gospel of shoes. Why did it have to be shoes? We spoke about the shield of faith. Why is it a shield? Your faith can be anywhere, but why is it the shield? Because of this, arrows come from all directions. You must come like Rambo, like Jackie Chan, and all those other Avengers superheroes, Captain America to be specific. You must be able to take the shield to protect the entire armor, because that's its job also, right? Now, when we talk about the helmet of salvation, when your mind is at peace with where you are now, because the head and the mind is the engine of everything else that is translated to your body. If a thought comes, it starts from your head. If stress comes, it starts from your head. When it manifests through your body, you start seeing signs like fatigue. You know, you start getting back pains, heart pains, chest pains, pains everywhere. It's because it already translated information to the entire body. Your head is sacred. The head of a man is God. The salvation needs to, because salvation is the first step of your journey with God. When your head is protected with this, even the flaming arrows of the devil that comes and questions your marriage, questions your position at work, questions your schooling, questions your business, even if it comes, you know one thing. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. These are the words that Jesus Christ said when he was on the cross. Salvation, being reconciled with God, being reconciled with the Holy Spirit. Gospel for Grampians, I love God. And God loves me too. If you don't believe it, I want you to believe it today. Your Christianity and your faith, if it cannot stand on anything else, at least let it stand on this thing. Let it stand on the fact that God loves me. There's a song by our beautiful Sissy Winers. It says, your goodness. Your goodness is running after, is running after me. Your goodness is running after, is running after me. I love this song because it shows me that God will always chase my heart. I have a duty, but like any other romantic boyfriend, husband in your life, he will always chase after you. It's running after me. I want you to play this song and I want you to listen it, to listen to it. And I want you to meditate about what Cece Winers is saying. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never failed me. It has never failed you, and it will not start failing you today. It's so surprising that I should be speaking about a spiritual warfare, how war rages against you. Because remember, we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but the rulers and principalities. And you know, as I learn, as I live in every space that I walk into, I realize, and I learned this very quickly, that even the people that oppress you, they are souls that belong to God. It's not them. It is the rulers and principalities of the territory you stepped in. And when you see that the armor of God starts exposing these things from both internally and externally, then you start realizing that, nah, that's a territory. But guess what? Your goodness is running after me. And your greatness is running after me. I love this song so much. So in the spiritual warfare, I still encourage you with this greatness and this goodness of the Lord that is running after you. God is good all the time. It's not every day that we need to pick up our shield and our sword of the word of God, which is the other thing that I'm going to talk about before we close our session today. And we hand over to our beautiful Sammy, who's going to sing. Before we can even talk about that, a spiritual warfare. Sometimes you need to worship. Immense, deep, immersed, deep in your presence with the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you need to worship and thank God for every tool given to us to fight on this world that is so hard to live in. When you're given a tool and a weapon to fight and to protect, that's the greatest gift that God can give you in this world that is very hard to live in. Worship God, for his goodness and his greatness is running after you. Verse 16. Above all, lift up the protective shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. When the enemy comes, your sword is the word of God. This full armor, I always imagine it in my head. How does it look like? An armor is worn by a soldier who goes to battle. You can't go to a battle to have a coffee tea with your enemy. You're going to battle because you're going to fight. You're going to fight. You have the helmet that protects your head, which is the engine of the entire body, from getting hurt. You have your breastplate because it's protecting the organ that keeps you alive, which is your heart. You have your shoes that protects you from the organ that helps you be mobile, stand firm, and fight with all the techniques you can think of, which is your feet and your legs. You have a tool that protects the entire body. I call it the raincoat from the flaming arrows, which is your faith. You have your belt where your weapons can easily be put on. If you watch movies, action movies, some police cops, they put their guns here, they put on this very same belt. You have the carrier of weapons, which is the belt of truth. And now you have the sword to fight with, that you use to fight. You fight with the word of God, not with your mind, not with your skills, but the word of God. For even if you pierce the heart of a loved one, it penetrates through the soul and goes straight to the ruler and principality. And when it comes out, the soul is saved and the devil is gone. Do we know how to use the sword, if I may ask? We haven't, don't we? We read the Bible all the time, don't we? We praise God all the time, don't we? Do we use this sword correctly? This is the question that I want to ask you today. Or are we using the sword to oppress each other? I thank God for giving us wisdom and guidance on how to live in this world that is so hard to live in. And I thank God for always, through the Holy Spirit, making sure that we are fulfilled, we feel loved. For I thank the Master that always gives his soldiers tool to use and a guideline on how to use them. That is from me, Masego Malapile. It was a one-woman show. I enjoyed this, and I hope you enjoyed it as well. Go back and read the book of Ephesians. Go read it and understand it. I always say meditate upon the word. That's what my spiritual father taught me, and it works. Because when you meditate upon this word, the Holy Spirit takes it and brings it into reality. Because meditation brings things into reality. I thank God for you. Thank you for listening, Gospel for Grampians. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the show. We'll see you again next week. Same time, same place. Make sure that you have your radio, your phone, your apps, your data, everything else ready for action, ready to listen, ready to tune in, taking notes about what God is saying about you today. Thank you so much for Gospel for Grampians. We'll see each other again next week. Do not forget to tune in. I am Masego Malapile, and I'm signing out.